Stand, please. Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. All persons having business before the Honorable United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, I admonish to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and its Honorable Court. Be seated, please.
Morning, Mr. Himmelfarb.
Morning, Chief Judge Santel. May it please the court, sitting at council table with me is also my law partner, Daniel J. Kelly. We're here today following the PRC's termination of the Postal Service's license with LePage's products, LePage's 2000 Inc. and LePage's products, relating to the sale of USPS-branded mailing and shipping supplies. This is a licensing product that LePage's has. It has 4% of the market, and it sells postal-branded items at retail locations as opposed to retail post offices. The PRC found that this licensing program should be terminated because of two main reasons. It confuses consumers, and it's anti-competitive. We contend that that order was an error because, as far as those two findings, they were not supported by substantial evidence, and it was inconsistent with the PRC's own interpretation of the term postal service under 39 U.S.C. 102.
Haven't you brought that argument a little late? Shouldn't you brought that argument after the Phase 1 order? The Phase 1 order reached that issue, right, and assumed that everything that it was talking about thereafter was non-postal service. That's where you diverged from them. Why didn't you bring that?
Well, there's
earlier?
A couple of reasons for that. The argument is this, and the Postal Service did raise that argument a little bit differently, but the Postal Service raised the argument that the LePage's program is really the same as the ReadyPost program, and it should receive the same treatment, which is really two sides of the same coin. We're saying the same thing. The argument we're making here today is now that if you felt you didn't look at our program long and hard enough and you needed additional evidence to do it, that's fine. But once you went back and looked at the evidence regarding our program and saw that it provides the exact same benefit.
I understand that, but in Phase 1, they said ReadyPost is postal, you're not. Why didn't you object at that point? Why wait till now?
Yeah, my client did not participate in the Phase 1 proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a certain convolution that was going on because at the time, the Postal Service, who was the one who would have made that argument, had taken the position, and this was the case that was before this court previously, that its licensing programs aren't subject to review at all.
Aren't service at all, right.
So by the time that got fleshed out, the Postal Service at the commencement of the Phase 2 proceedings, and we cite the portion of it in our brief, said, well, now that we're going down this road, you should consider whether it's a Postal Service or not. And there was an order from the PRC saying, look, everything that happened in Phase 1, we're deeming that an interlocutory order. So it's all going to go forward and can be subject to reconsideration.
It's not quite what it says, but I take your point.
Right. So, I mean, it perhaps would be forgivable, but the point that we're making is it's a disparate treatment,
right,
based on the ReadyPost program. And I'll talk a little bit about that.
What do you make of the fact that the service doesn't take the same position as you do concerning whether or not your offering is a postal service or not?
They don't take the same position we do, whether it's a postal service or not, but they do take the same position that we should have been treated the same way as the ReadyPost program. They've argued that in their papers, and they argue that before the PRC. And so that's essentially the position we're taking today.
Not essentially the same thing, though, as Judge Silberman points out. It's one thing to say that you are a postal service and therefore should be treated the same. It's another thing to claim that even if you're not a postal service, you shouldn't be treated the same. You made the statement a few minutes ago that ReadyPost and your service were precisely the same benefit. They're not. ReadyPost is sold at the post office premises, right?
ReadyPost is sold at the postal premises.
And you're talking about using a postal branded product for sale in Walmart or Target or somewhere.
There's, Your Honor, there's no question that really the only main difference is where the products are sold. The question
is... Isn't that quite a difference?
Well, it may be. And
the
perhaps,
only main difference is a huge difference.
It may have been a difference, but if Your Honor looks at the analysis that the PRC did in the Phase 1 order, it could have come out and said our interpretation of the PAEA is that if the Postal Service does the selling, it's a Postal Service. But that is precisely not what the PRC did. When you look at the way they looked at the Ready Post program, they said, we think the Ready Post program is a Postal Service because our definition of Postal Service means something related to or ancillary to the carriage of mail.
Well, they couldn't have said that the mere selling of it makes it a postal service because the statute anticipates that there are activities they're engaged in that are non-postal services. Right.
I mean, that's what it's an interesting distinction because there's lots of things that the Postal Service sells that the PRC said, well, that's not a postal service. Right, we have the music CDs. That's not a postal service. And then we have the customized postage program. That's sold by a third party. The Postal Service doesn't do any selling there. So it can't just be the case that if the Postal Service is doing the selling and it's related to the carriage of mail, then it passes the test, but otherwise it doesn't. I mean, the customized postage program, I think, is an important distinction here because we think that in some ways is the most similar program. What happens in that program, the Postal Service licenses to third parties its intellectual property, which is the same thing that they do with us, and the third party sells it, and the reason it's a postal service is because stamps are related to the carriage of mail.
What sort of control does the Postal Service exercise over the LePage's product? That means, do they tell them, you're going to be able to put the eagle on this box, but the box has to be a certain dimension? Or?
There, in practice, there have been discussions about limiting the product lines and how, you know, what's going to help the post office, you know, most of all going forward. But in the license, I mean, LePage's can't sell anything unless they send samples to the Postal Service and the Postal Service approves it. And in fact, we had a recent experience.
A sample of the box, for example.
A sample of the box and a sample of the marketing materials. And there are discussions. And, you know, at the end of the day, this discussion goes beyond LePage's because the question is this something that the Postal Service is going to be able to do going forward at all? So if the Postal Service were to come back and say, okay, look, we do think we have a lot of control over the LePage's products, but we could exercise more control. Well, they can't do that anymore. So an example I give in the brief, which resonated with me, is say the Postal Service says, we need to generate more mail volume because we're in trouble. And so we want to run a promotional program that says, if you buy this box of certain dimensions, you can ship it anywhere in the United States for $20. This is just a hypothetical. And they want to go out into retail outlets and have that box sitting on the shelf so that customers will see that and say, hey, I didn't think about that. That's a great deal. I want to do that. Well, because they have control over our products and because we're a licensee, they can sit down with us and they can talk to us and say, you know, we want you to print these boxes. Of course, you know, we do that. And again, it's benefiting the Postal Service because it's able to get out there and convey their message. It's benefiting us. And it's benefiting the public because the public is now aware of this program that they otherwise wouldn't be aware of.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes, Judge Silver.
First of all, going to the competitive issue, it is your argument that the license that you have doesn't give you a competitive advantage at all. There's no evidence to support that.
Well,
is that correct?
My position is that there is not substantial evidence to support that. And
how much are you paying for the license?
We pay a guaranteed minimum payment, which is
about $300,000 a year.
What's that?
It's about $300,000 a year.
Yes.
Can't one conclude that the value you're getting for that designation, license, is worth that much in the competitive marketplace vis-a-vis competitors? Why do you need any more evidence than that?
Well, two things, Your Honor. One, being competitive does not mean it's prohibited. The PRC expressly acknowledges competition per se.
But it gives you a marginal advantage, right? A $300,000 marginal advantage.
It gives a marginal
margin on that, yeah.
Yeah, clearly LePage's thinks the brand has a value for it because LePage's willing to pay less. However,
so that isn't that evidence?
Well, it's evidence that the brand has value, but the question is it anti-competitive?
No. It doesn't. When you say it just creates some competitive advantage, that's all. Now, the second question I have for you is, assuming this is your situation is not a postal service, wouldn't it be sufficient for the commission to conclude that the private sector can meet this need? End of analysis.
It depends on what the term need means.
I grant you there's total confusion in the commission's position between whether the focus should be the license or the product. But if they could untrack themselves from that confusion and somehow put that together, isn't it fair to say that they don't have to go through the first category of consideration. All they have to do is conclude that the private sector can meet this, right?
Yeah, I mean, if the only question is, do they have to look at our products and find whether our products are superior in that sense of the need, then that's right. But I have trouble.
No, they don't have to go. All they have to do is say the private sector provides this.
Right, in a way that you can reasonably reconcile it with their finding that licensing is a service.
There is a major problem there. There is an intellectual disconnect there.
Right.
But assuming they could fix that.
I mean, I think if they fix that, they have to go back and look at all of the other products because the evidence was exactly the same.
Why do they
have
to look at any other product?
You don't think they have to look at any other product, Your Honor?
Pardon?
Well,
I ask you a question.
I didn't understand.
Any other product?
I'm sorry.
Do they have to look at any other product?
Well, because they can't issue a ruling that says we can't have our program, but all these other programs that have the same exact benefit.
There could be finality as to decisions that are no longer on petition for review, could there not, counsel? What would reopen all those other products?
Because
haven't they entered final decisions on those?
Because there has to be a set of rules that they articulate that make sense.
You're not listening to me. What would reopen those other decisions? If they've made a final decision on those, it happens all the time that administrative agencies are treating entities differently because of when they made the decision. And if there's been a change in the landscape, that does not necessarily reopen any other product, does it?
I don't think they have to relook at any other product, okay, as long as they can articulate a reason why our product is being treated differently under those set of rules. We suggest that there's no way, based on the existing set of rules they've laid down, for us to be treated differently. So it's up to them to do that. But, I mean, our position is...
The interchange between yourself and Judge Silverman to be to the effect that if they could cure up that intellectual disconnect, or if we can tease out a cure of it out of the existing opinion, that then it is possible to do what they did. Did I misunderstand?
No, I suppose if they find there's no public need that can't be met by the private sector, then that's it. But they have to do it in a way that's consistent with what they've already found.
No, they don't. That's what I'm suggesting to you. Cannot change occur. There cannot be an unexplained difference in treatment. That doesn't mean that you are stuck with the first way you start throughout history, beyond history, throughout all time to come. And we've never ruled that, neither has any other court ruled, that an agency cannot change the way it treats. It has to treat consistently or explain the inconsistency.
Right. I know, Your Honor, that obviously that's exactly right. But they'd have to explain it.
We've talked you past your time. We'll give you back a couple of minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear from the other petitioner. Good morning, Ms. Nemitz.
Good morning, Your Honor. Thank you. May it please the Court. I represent the Postal Service in this case.
You can't really be fighting for $300,000. There's got to be more at stake than this.
Yes, Your Honor, there is. We completely agree with Mr. Himmelfarb that the LePage's license should not be terminated. But obviously the Postal Service has more at stake than a single license. The Commission's order prohibits the Postal Service from ever licensing its brand for use on products that are sold by third parties as long as they relate to its core business. So we have The result of the commission...
And can be met in the private sector.
Well, they've made a judgment that no licensing, they've looked at licensing in general. In phase one, they said, we have a commercial licensing program and we license our brand for use on many categories of products, including things like teddy bears and pajamas, things totally unrelated to our core business, and also some things that are related to the core business. So in phase one, they said...
I don't think they were worried about the teddy bear market.
No, they weren't, Your Honor, but they acknowledged that...
I don't know that there would be any advantage to having the postal logo on a teddy bear.
I want to talk for a minute about the competitive... I will talk about the supposed competitive advantage that comes from licensing of mailing and shipping products, but I also want to focus on the rationale for that the commission articulated in phase one for approving licensing. The commission said the relevant service we're looking here under the statute is licensing. And licensing has benefits. Licensing arrangements mainly allow the Postal Service to promote its brand. They generate revenues, and that's good, but...
Why couldn't they, if they had thought about it, why couldn't they say, look, sometimes we're looking at licensing, sometimes we're looking at the final product?
Under its own...
I understand they didn't say that. But
they didn't
say
that, Your Honor.
If they did say that, if you were working for them, if you were their lawyer, mm-hmm. took this back, wouldn't you say that?
I don't think you can really do it that way because...
Why? No.
Well, it was a one-time review, so you had to identify broad categories of activities.
They couldn't
and they didn't
that.
Want to say... She said,
I know, but they couldn't change their mind?
Well, they can't change their mind as to their... There is finality, I think, as to the phase one decision, and there they said the relevant category of activity. Now they can regulate. So they're making this one time, and one of our arguments is this remedy of, you know, they have identified certain potential problems with particular kinds of licenses. And the license that they were actually focused on in the proceeding below, it wasn't the LePage's license. It was a license. Pitney Bowes is the only private party that really came in and objected to any of this, and they's in phase two. And they said, they were concerned because they're the dominant player in the postage meter industry, and the Postal Service had a license to a competing provider of postage meter ink replacement cartridges, and they were very worried about that. And so they objected to that particular license, and they said, you know, the Postal Service has a role in regulating postage meter ink, and so there's this possible sort of conflict of interest here.
But if the commission determines mm-hmm. that the private sector can meet the demand for a particular product. Forget for a moment that they used to talk about license, but for a particular product, can't they say no? We won't let the Postal Service do it without regard to regulation, whether or not we could take an intermediate position. We don't want to.
Perhaps that's another way to look at it. I'm not
sure.
Perhaps that's another way to look at it. I don't know that that would have been practicable when you have a one-time review. And, you know, they definitely rejected the position that they could review this license by license because there's also a grandfather clause at issue. So they could perhaps regulate to make more fine distinctions about what kinds of license.
No, I know that is your argument, that they should have regulated rather than cut mm-hmm. it off. But I do not see why they didn't have discretion to simply cut it off. The statute gives them that authority.
Just to cut off. So they've
terminate.
Well, the reason why they don't have they've abused their discretion here, or their decision is arbitrary, because, first of all, they flip-flopped in their analysis, and they didn't justify
it. We recognize that they flip-flopped their confusion between licensing and product.
And the statute also directs them, as they say in their brief, it's the language of the statute that they rely on their brief on page 45. They say the focus of their review is on the activities in which the Postal Service engages, as opposed to the activities of private parties such as LePage's. And it arises directly from the statute, which directs the commission to review each non-postal service offered by the Postal Service. So the relevant activity here is licensing. And in its phase one decision,
well, they should change their view and say, look, for some matters we look at licensing, and for other matters we're looking at the final product.
I think that they would have to justify a shift.
When
you look at licensing, it almost assumes, you know, you could then justify, no licensing agreement could survive that kind of scrutiny.
I question your dichotomy. I understand that it's confusing mm-hmm. in the way it's written, but there is really no such thing as licensing by itself. You're always licensing something. So I'm not at all certain how your analysis works to say that they should look at licensing, not at product, because you're licensing a product.
Well, we think it was fair for them to, I do think it was fair for them to look at two different licensing of different categories of products. We're not complaining about that at all, but they have to have a rational.
Not necessarily, at least.
They're not necessarily the same thing. I agree. Now, from the Postal Service's perspective, licensing of products unrelated to its core mission and licensing.
Like teddy bears.
Right.
It wouldn't have made any sense to talk about the product there. There, that's only the licensing that's relevant.
Well, from the Postal Service's perspective, and the evidence supplied by the Postal Service, is that all this licensing is, from the Postal Service's perspective, has promotional benefits. So the commission actually didn't discount the fact that there were these promotional benefits, but said, so let's talk about why it is they said we're justified in treating these things differently. Let's all agree that they could treat them differently if they wanted to, depending on the categories of products that are licensed. As long as you don't completely discount the benefit, that there is a public benefit, and that the commission recognized in phase one that the benefit is one that can't be supplied
by
the.
Wait a minute, if I read the statute, even if there was enormous public benefit with respect to a particular licensed product, whatever, if the commission concluded it was met by the private sector, they could decide terminate.
That's correct, Your
Honor. Without regard to the benefit.
No, that's correct, Your Honor. But here, again, I just want to point out one more time the sort of inconsistency in the rationale, because they said in phase one, these promotional benefits, they can't be obtained. There's no private sector substitute for this, because the Postal Service only the Postal Service can license intellectual property. So obviously only the Postal Service can engage in the activity that results in brand promotion. And then in phase two, they said, any need can be satisfied by the private sector because there's lots of mailing and shipping products. Well, of course there are. These are provided by the private sector. So that's not a very satisfactory analysis.
The only excuse or only reason mm-hmm. for having the licenses that put UPS, USPS, on the product of the mailers that LaPage.
And it has a significant promotional benefit, and it's more valuable to the Postal Service when it's on a mailing and shipping product, because even if they don't buy it, they're in the store shopping for envelopes.
Of the public that isn't satisfied by the same mailer with Walmart's house brand on it or Target's house brand on it.
We don't contend in this proceeding that these products can't be
obtained
elsewhere.
The only need that you're saying can't be met is the post office's need to do promotion, right?
Well, that's from our perspective, that's the need that's satisfied, Your Honor. And in order to, but it's important that the Postal Service.
Isn't there some tailoring of the product to meet the Postal Service's needs for efficiency?
That's true. I mean, the Postal Service, there are certain, we don't contend that these are unique products, but the Postal Service, there is some value to having the Postal Service review the products. They're all
read by them. Did you make a record that the product was in any way superior than what could be obtained with other brand names? Could I look in the record here before the administrative record?
The record is that these products are reviewed by they satisfy the quality standards of the Postal mm-hmm. Service. The design is reviewed by the Postal Service, and they're suitable for mailing. We don't contend that other products are not suitable for mailing.
I was going to say, is there any record that there aren't a plethora of other brands of such products out there?
There are definitely other products that are suitable for mailing, Your Honor. In fact, but that's why there isn't really, this goes back to the point about, what is the rationale? The commission, does have discretion here. Obviously, they have a great deal of discretion, but they also, have to engage in that. This court's review is not toothless, and it has to engage in reasoned decision making. We've already identified problems with the way they got to this result in terms of the analysis of public need and whether it could be supplied by the private sector. But also, they said that the reason we're doing this, we're taking away the Postal Service's ability to license in this whole category that relates to its core business, and we're terminating these private licenses because of these big disadvantages of this kind of licensing that we're concerned about. And none of those were supported. So you said, of course the brand has value. I mean, we receive a royalty, and it's a valuable brand. That's why we want to license. That's why we can license. But does it create any, what the commission made of that was to say, nobody would buy these products unless they had this, they were confused, that they had a mistaken perception that they were more suitable.
They didn't say nobody would buy the product.
Well, there are statements
a competitive advantage to having
They said there was...
Nobody would buy it. It means they would sell at the same...
No.
It would sell without a premium to other brands.
They said that it's likely that... They said it's likely that consumers... This came out of the RAG declaration, and I guess maybe they were just quoting it, not adopting it, but they said the fact that people buy this, you can infer from that they're confused, and they think they're just, you know, uniquely suited for mailing.
I think you're overstating what they said there, counsel. I will agree that this is not a model of clarity we're working from here.
I've read it many times, and I always sort of come out a little different as to what the basis was, but they've identified consumer confusion as a problem. They also talked a lot about,
What troubles me is why is any of that really relevant? If they conclude private sector can meet this, why can't they say that's the end of the game? I don't have to go into competition. I don't have to go into confusion. I don't have to go into anything. Private sector can meet it. Statute says if that factor is present, the commission can and should terminate.
The private sector can meet the need for the products. That's true in any licensing arrangement. The private sector can't meet the needs that the postal that the commission itself has identified as important, the need of the Postal Service to be able to promote its brand.
There's a subtle difference here between a logo on a teddy bear and a mailing and a bubble wrap, isn't there? And that's... The problem is your argument is the commission hasn't really explained why they treat those separately. But if we think about it, there is an obvious difference, isn't there?
You have to have more than speculation. I mean, there are other cases where this court has reversed.
I don't know if it's not you may be right that they haven't done an adequate job of explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds to me like you're pursuing what may be a Pyrrhic victory.
Well, if you think that there is a problem because it does... Really, what's underlying this is there's some sort of unfair competitive advantage that is conferred upon the licensee.
Counsel, if I read the statute correctly, and you said I did, that is not necessary for the commission to conclude there's an unfair competitive advantage. All they have to do is conclude the private sector can meet this. End of game.
Well, I think they need also to justify treating this kind of licensing differently.
Right. They have to analyze this. They have to treat the teddy bear and the bubble wrap differently.
They didn't, in phase one, they didn't look at whether any product, these other products were otherwise available.
Understand.
They are other. Of course you can buy teddy bears without the Postal Service brand. Of course you can buy envelopes without a Postal Service brand on them. They are provided by the private sector. This is just the private sector's case. We're not investing in it. We're just getting a royalty and using our valuable brand.
Teddy bear with a postal brand and all teddy bears. There is a distinction there.
But let me point out just one other sort of inconsistency in the way the commission has approached this.
We have talked too fast your time, so if you would.
All right.
Fine, we're entitled to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Buckwood Robbins. Okay, we'll hear from the respondent.
Your position, simply put, can be the famous quote, consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds?
I don't concede that there's any inconsistency here.
That's a foolish consistency.
Yes, you're right. I'll take that, a foolish consistency.
I wanted to begin by discussing this distinction between the licensing itself and the underlying product. And there are two main points that sort of explain the different.
That's the key to the case, isn't it?
I think the key to the case is that they haven't demonstrated a public need that can't be met by the private sector. But
Depends on whether you're talking about the licensing or the product.
Well, so let me go into the two issues that surround that. First is the distinction between determining whether something is a postal service or a non-postal service on the one hand, and determining whether it satisfies a need that can't be met by the private sector on the other hand. To determine whether it's a postal service or a non-postal service, as the commission explained, the key inquiry is into what service the postal service itself is actually engaging in. If the postal service is selling something, that's very different from what the postal service is licensing. And if the postal service is licensing, then the question is that licensing a postal service or a non-postal service, and that's where the focus is. And the quotation that's being read from our brief
section. Tell me again, why is it a major difference if the postal service is selling it as opposed to licensing it to someone else who's selling it at a kiosk where they're going to be able to to mail this? Why? I mean, obviously there's one difference. One's at a post office where you have to stand in line, and the other's at a place where, you know, it's going to be more convenient for you. But is that a difference? Is that a distinction that makes a difference here?
Well, from the standpoint of whether the Postal Regulatory Commission is regulating a postal service or a non-postal service, the Postal Regulatory Commission has no authority to regulate the activities of LePage's, who's doing the selling in this case. So whether or not what they're doing would be describable as a postal service if the postal service engaged in it doesn't matter. In terms of whether it's a postal service or a non-postal service, the most important thing is what is the United States Postal Service doing. And in the case of LePage's...
Is the distinction between ReadyPost and LePage that one is sold by the Postal Service and the other's not? Is that the only...
That's not the only distinction. That's a significant distinction. The other distinction is that ReadyPost is sold in postal facilities, and therefore ReadyPost makes available to the public shipping supplies in the very place, you know, where the Postal Service offers its services and where no one else sells mailing and shipping supplies.
Be picky. No, I don't. I don't hate to be picky. But where in the record is the best statement by the commission of that distinction that you're making between the two? Where is the best statement? You know, we can't approve on your words. We can affirm only on what the commission has done. Now, where in the record is the place where I would find the best statement of the difference, the distinction between ReadyPost and the license in this case?
I don't recall off the top of my head. I can take a look. I know we cited in our brief the commission's statement that ReadyPost is a service that's, in that case, sales are made.
They never explained it.
That's the problem. At A578, they say this service is not a postal service, but doesn't go through any of the criteria that it went through when talking about ReadyPost. And ReadyPost identified three different reasons why it is a postal service, and there's nothing said about that, just the conclusion here.
Well, ReadyPost...
At the very least, that's an inadequate explanation.
In the context of ReadyPost, the commission was discussing the sale of these items by the postal service. In the context...
That's why I get back to you. So that's the only distinction, is that one, you have to stand in line at the post office to get, and the other, you can do conveniently at Target.
Well, the distinction in terms of the Postal Regulatory Commission's authority to regulate this, and they're exercising that authority, is that when the Postal Regulatory Commission is regulating something that the United States Postal Service does, that is the critical question. What is it that the United States Postal Service is doing? If all the United States Postal Service is doing is licensing, then the service that the commission must consider is licensing. If what the United States Postal Service is doing is selling something, then the service that the commission
might be a good explanation for them to make if there's a next time around. I don't think they made that.
Yeah.
Well, it's implicit in what they said because they were talking about the sales by the Postal Service.
When you said in your brief, the best you do in the brief, I think also is to say it's implicit. Now, you have much discussion, well, we have some discussion, of what they did in Order 1, in Phase 1, but what we're looking for here, I don't really find in your brief a citation to anything in the Commission's decision that very clearly tells me what you're trying to tell us today.
Well, the determination whether this is a postal service or a non-postal service was made in Phase 1.
Wait just a second. It is not true that you limit postal service products to that sold in the post office, is it?
No.
You even do it online, right?
That's correct, but that's being sold by the postal service online.
In the post office's site online.
Right.
Right, exactly. With respect to whether something...
Does that mean that anything sold in the post office is a postal service?
No, and the commission expressly concluded otherwise.
How do you distinguish between what is a postal service and what is not?
The commission determined that ReadyPost and things that are facilitating people sending things at the post office is a postal service. The sales of other items within the postal service, licensed retail products that are not related to mailing.
How about a cane that helps people who are handicapped to get from one part of the post office to another?
I don't believe that was presented to the commission.
I'm asking hypothetically, is that therefore a postal service?
I think under the commission's reasoning, that wouldn't be sufficiently tied to the mail
it
as much.
It would not be.
That's not similar to a box or something that you would use. I mean, the rationale, and this was cited in the commission's order for ReadyPost, was to say people come into the post office, they find the shipping supplies that they need in order to mail something, and then they mail it right there. And so the provision of those supplies within the post office facility is ancillary to the main core functions of the Postal Service. That was all decided in phase one. Then they get to licensing of any product, whether it's...
Isn't there licensing involved in ReadyPost as well? Isn't there a licensing component to it? I mean, I thought there was an agreement between whoever the manufacturer of these products is and the Postal Service, and there's actually a licensing agreement that governs that.
There is a licensing agreement involved. What the commission looked at was ReadyPost, because ReadyPost is a set of activities that the Postal Service engages in, with the end result that the Postal Service is selling things to the public. And so the commission analyzed, it didn't break down sort of every step of the process. There's procurement, there's licensing, there's transportation. They said the service that they're offering at the end of the day is selling things to the public, and that's a postal service. When all they're doing is licensing, when, as is the case here, whether it's mailing and shipping supplies or anything else, and they describe this in the phase one order, when all the Postal Service is engaged in is licensing, then you have to look at whether that is a Postal Service.
Isn't there an inconsistency between the way you treated that in phase one and phase two, without explanation in phase two as to why it's different?
In phase two...
No, isn't there an inconsistency?
No, because in phase two, the issue before the commission had already decided this was not a Postal Service, so we weren't talking about whether...
Forget about that. I'm talking about whether... we're focusing on the license or the product.
The difference between the license and the product is...
In phase one, you emphasize the license was quite different from the product. In phase two, you were sort of implicitly suggested they're the same without ever explaining. Isn't that correct?
I'm not sure I understand why it's inconsistent, because What a license for putting a Postal Service brand on a teddy bear does, nobody's arguing that entering the agreement itself serves a public need. What it does is it facilitates the creation of teddy bears with the Postal Service logo on them. And the question is whether allowing people to produce those teddy bears rather than other teddy bears and sell them serves a public need. And that's what the commission analyzed. They didn't say the fact that they've entered into this agreement in and of itself serves a public need.
The commission focused on the license there, not the product, right?
I mean, they focused on the
license, not the product.
They focused on the license because what the license does is allow them to produce a product. If there was no product at the end of the day, there couldn't be any analysis. I mean, they talked about just in terms of whether there's a public need being satisfied, the only thing you can look at is what is actually being offered to the public at the end of the day, and they did that consistently in both orders. In the first order, they focused on the license from the standpoint of figuring out what is the Postal Service doing and is this a Postal Service or not, and in terms of whether there's a public need, the question is, does this license permit the sale of items that whose availability for sale benefits the public? And, you know, promotional materials, they said the fact that there are these promotional materials out there, not the fact that there's a license independent of the existence of the promotional materials. And in the second order, they said, all right, what the license does is it facilitates the creation of Postal Service branded mailing and shipping supplies. And then they looked at whether entering into the licensing agreement that allows that serves the public need. That's entirely consistent. And in the case of the mailing and shipping supplies, they found that there wasn't a public need.
Why do you have to focus on public need at all?
I mean, you're correct that the two are related and that you could...
No. In the statute, isn't it correct that all the commission has to find is that the private sector can meet this need? End of game.
Right. And you have to identify what the need is, of course. But as the commission found, to the extent that the Postal Service is saying letting people have these branded mailing and shipping supplies helps to serve their mailing needs, the commission expressly found, and this court could affirm on that basis, that any public need for items to facilitate mailers sending things is adequately met by the private sector, and there's nothing in the record to underscore that. So I'm not disagreeing that this court could affirm on that ground alone.
If it was clear that that was the, as the Chief Judge pointed out, if it was clear that that was the grounds upon which the Commission relied.
The Commission expressly determined, first of all, that this didn't serve a public need because of these mitigating factors that were not present in the previous context, and then second found that to the extent that there was that in any event, any need was met by the private sector. That is all expressly drawn from the Commission's decision.
Yes, that's a fair point. Assuming, of course, you don't have the confusion between the license and the product.
Right.
I don't mean to be argumentative with you. I hear your point.
Right. I'm not sure that the Commission's order evidences any confusion between the license and the product, but at the end of the day, the only benefit that could possibly be.
I don't think there's any confusion there. You're a better lawyer than
I. The only benefit, putting it this way, the only benefit there could possibly be to a licensing agreement is that it facilitates the production of mailing and shipping supplies with the Postal Service.
I suggested to the Council a while ago, it's really impossible to consider licensing without considering product. I'm not saying the Commission expressed that thought, but is there any way to consider licensing without considering what's being licensed? Does that reflect what you're saying now?
Yes, it does. Okay. And unless there are further questions, thank you.
Seeing none, we'll let you escape. We'll give back 2 minutes to the first petitioner for rebuttal.
Thank you. I just have a few brief points, as I know I went over my time.
We did it.
We've been talking a lot today about teddy bears on one end of the spectrum, and then my client's products, which is packing tape and bubble wrap. But I just want to make clear the distinction isn't quite that clear, because part of what was included in this OLRP program isn't just mugs and keychains and teddy bears. I'm going to just read from A555. It also includes, quote, ancillary services consisting of a variety of postal branded items that assist mailers in the use of the postal services. So it's not just teddy bears. It's products that assist mailers in the use of the postal service.
Such as?
So they give an example, USPS branded scales and stamp dispensers and bottle moisteners. And I have a much tougher time understanding why a USPS branded mailing scale isn't going to confuse consumers or isn't going to generate more revenue for that competitor.
At least as much as what?
Yes, that's a very good point.
LaPage or LaPage, whichever is correct.
Right. The other point I wanted to make is we're talking a lot about sales by the Postal Service, which clearly have a benefit, and then sales in retail outlets. But that distinction, it's a bit too rigid for me, because as clear in the record and from Judge Griffith's point, sales are occurring of Ready Post at the post office. They're also occurring online. Now, one of the points that was made is, look, you buy it at the post office, it's going immediately into the mail. Well, that may be true, it may not be, but it's certainly when you buy something online, that's not going immediately into the mail. That's still a postal service. We also have, and there's limited evidence in the record of it, but the postal service operates, I think it's about 4,400 privately operated contract retail units or contract postal units. Those are units in a Office Depot type store privately run, where these products are being sold. So, and then we have these kiosks as well. So this distinction about the Postal Service doing selling, it's really unclear. If I can make one final point, and if not.
Explain that. The Postal Office, Postal Service actually operates a sort of little section of a department store, or a Target, or a Home Depot?
Your Honor, I have a limited understanding of it. It was termed a privately operated contract retail unit. My understanding of it is the retailer operates it like a mini post office, so a little part of the store is set off where postal services can be purchased and mailed.
That's what happens at my supermarket.
Used to be the case that you found post offices in retail establishments, that in small towns there would be, the postmaster would be in the grocery store, or in my grandfather's case, the print shop, running a post office as well as running the business. But I don't know that that's exactly done anymore.
Yeah, I mean, but if that were the case, and remember, we're talking about the ability to go forward, until there's a change in the rule. So to the extent the post office wanted to do that, if it's not doing it anymore and I don't know, then it seems like a very artificial distinction to say, well, if the Ready Post product is there, then that's okay, that's a postal service. But if it's on the shelf where they're selling other stationery, well, that's anti-competitive and that confuses consumers, and that's a totally different thing.
We have let you go way over.
Okay, here, thank you very much, Your Honor. So
thank you, counsel. And we didn't cause all of it that time, so I'll make sure we'll hear from the other petitioner. 2 minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. We've talked about Ready Post program a lot, and Mr. Himmelfarb just mentioned the OLRP program, and I wanted to talk about that for a minute too, just to be clear. These are the officially licensed retail products. They've been approved as a non-postal service. They are sold in post offices, but they involve licensing agreements. So the Postal Service will license its brand to allow a manufacturer to manufacture, like in the case of the scale. There's a postal branded scale. There's a mail, like you mail your letters on it, and you buy this. You can buy this at a postal office or online, and it's just got the logo on it. And it used to be that that could be sold. The manufacturer sells it to the Postal Service, and the Postal Service resells it, basically, in post offices. But the manufacturers also used to be able to sell those to third parties, and they could be sold at Target or wherever. But under the commission's order now, I mean, that the sale at third-party retail establishments is precluded forever because now we can't license for sale in third-party retail establishments. So, but the fact is that the fact that they allow that just completely undermines the arguments about why it was justified in treating this whole category of license because of the underlying product. They're saying it's just there are all these disadvantages and problems with this whole category of anything relating to mailing and shipping. And yet, you know, they've got postal branded postal scales being sold online. Mm-hmm. So that just demonstrates, you know, that they need to have a basis for what they did. I mean, this is pretty significant. This is a permanent termination.
It is, in fact, in the record that the postal scales that you're talking about are still allowed.
They're still allowed in post offices. But now this under the order, which says no licensing of the Postal Service's brand for sale by third-party retailers, that would seem to me to preclude that. Right. Thank you, Your Honor. I see I'm out of time.
I'm not sure. I'm going to keep it a little. I'm not sure what your point is if it precludes it.
Excuse me?
You were arguing there was an inconsistency by being able to have the postal scales sold.
You can now,
being able to have the LaPage products sold.
As we read the order, now you would not be able to sell the postal scales anywhere except by the Postal Service.
Then why bring it up?
I bring it up because what's...
If it's precluded too, it's precluded too.
It's permitted to be sold. They've said... The reason why we're forever precluding you mm-hmm. from licensing for third-party sale is because it's anti-competitive, it's confusing, it's unfair, I guess, to people who are not selling the branded products. But they're allowing it to be done in post offices. It's the very same product. So it makes if it's a problem, why isn't it a product?
Judge Griffith was saying a while ago, the sale on premises or the sale through the post office.
But a postal scale is not, it's one thing to say, well, we're going to just, it's one single use envelopes and they're only being mailed and it's just for the convenience of the consumer. But they said there's sort of a danger associated with branding. And if there's a danger associated with branding, why isn't that a problem that it's sold on the website?
So I've talked to you past your time.
Thank you.
Case is submitted. Give us recess.